5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year from the Rain Report, the weekly audio ham radio feature magazine of Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network. I'm Larry McGlure, KB9DIP. Last summer, the Rain Report took a closer look at BOPL, broadband over power lines, specifically at the menace such technology would pose to the amateur radio high-frequency spectrum. As far as we know, the Central California community of Lompoc is the first to adopt this technology with critically important restrictions as of December 2003. One of the driving forces behind local opposition to this controversial above-ground technology is Paul Andresen, K1JAN, technical advisor for the Southwestern Division of the American Radio Relay League. Paul is also an electrical engineer and owner of a computer servicing company in Lompoc.
BOPL is the broadcasting at extremely high power over bare copper wires that are used to distribute AC power throughout the high voltage system in a town or between towns, etc. Now, Lompoc got into it way ahead of most of the country because the FCC has no ban on it, and they're really hot to pay attention to it as a new technology without really testing it first. So they didn't put any great restraints on it. Lompoc is a fairly small town, but being near Vandenberg Air Force Base, where most of the West Coast space launches happen, there's a lot of technologically savvy people here. They immediately went out and said, oh, wow, this is something we can do, because Lompoc buys its power from PG&E, the major supplier in the West, and redistributes its own power, so it owns its own lines. So it made it something they could do without asking anyone's permission except the FCC. Unilaterally decided, wow, that's good for us, with no investigation whatsoever, except they did commission a company to go out and make a survey. Because the BOPL radiates essentially off the copper wires distributing AC to your home like an antenna, it will interfere with almost anything. And at the power levels of 10 or I've heard even 25 kilowatts, it will interfere with anything within its spectrum. Its spectrum isn't fixed yet. They're talking about anywhere from 8 to 14 up to 80 megahertz. And the maybe because of its nature of the parallel lines and cross lines and transformers, they'll probably be extremely rich in harmonics. So no matter what frequency they go to, there's going to be a lot of very powerful harmonics. That's going to affect everything from amateur radio, obviously, to local people using everything from citizens' bands to these family radios to AM broadcast stations, especially. Out here in California, this California Highway Patrol, who is kind of important to us. So as soon as I had discovered through the grapevine that the city had out of the blue pulled this into a council meeting and decided to make the study, I contacted the mayor of Lompoc, Dick DeWeese. He's an extremely nice man I've known for years, and he's not a professional politician, which means he understands how the real world works. And I went to him and talked to him about this, and he said, well, that sounds serious. We hadn't been told anything about this. Write up something and get it to my office. So I put together a package, including things like the ARRL stuff that was posted on the website, several analyses that had been done by Australia and Japan, who has outlawed it totally, and they're probably one of the most technologically based countries in the world, and put this two-inch package together explaining all of this, as well as explaining that he would be looking at not only interfering with all of these mentioned causes, but that in fact the California Highway Patrol would be put out of business. Plus, a lot of our city frequencies are on low-band frequencies. I used to be the city radio guy, so I was aware of that. They were all taken to low VHF and high BHF quite some time ago. They had a possibility of interference. Almost all of the fire, which is very important out here, you may have known from the news, and all the emergency services use VHF and some low VHF. So we have a catastrophic amount of services as well as entertainments that would be impacted. I turned this into them, and the city administrator of Lompoc, Gary Keefe, another nice gentleman, looked it all over and made the decision in the city council that the company doing this feasibility study would not be allowed to look at any radiating type of methodology. Now, we had never gotten anything in writing from them except their promise that they would do this. Here about 2 weeks ago, another ham, Dale Estico, WA4AMW, came to me and said, they're having a city council meeting right now on this subject. Well, I couldn't get to it. He reported back that they had indeed decided to go with a system, but they were laying the caveat that it could not be anything but fiber optic contained. There could be no radiated element within the system. And the reason for that was given that from the inputs from the hams here locally. Some of the other people that helped provide me with information was one of the local emergency coordinators, Ray Lischka, W9EC, and Eric Lamont, WB6FLY.
You're listening to an interview with Paul Andresen, K1JAN, regarding the successful effort to thwart broadband over power line technology as originally proposed in Lompoc, California. Hap Holly, KC9RP, will conclude his talk with Paul in a moment. This is the Rain Report.
You're listening to the Rain Report from www.rainreport.com.
We put all this data together, and it just overwhelmed them. The good news for the local area is the nearby town of Santa Maria, about 30 miles away, has an even more broad scope. They're a lot higher. They have a lot of power distribution of their own. They decided to follow Lompoc's lead, however that went. So we expect that to hear shortly that they won't be going along the radiating power route either. We had some reasonable people listening to us. After our input was put in, and I had already gotten a city promise of avoiding it, the CHP came down like a ton of bricks and said, you'd put us out essentially statewide. So their input was obviously another big hammer. But we have an extremely high ham population and a high technological base because of the Air Force Base nearby. And I think an awful lot of the people paid attention to that. Not only that, but the city is very active in emergency communications. We have an EOC set up within the city. We've got equipment. We've got ATV equipment set up to run hospital emergencies. And we have emergencies out here on a very constant basis. It's a win for us, and I think we worked hard for it. But at the same time, we were in a position where there were some other agencies that could provide voices that may have provided a little bit of fear factor to the city making such a quick and easy decision.
Tell me more about the radiation tests that were not going to be permitted. Isn't that half the problem with BOPL?
Yeah, well, the problem goes both ways. Not only does that extremely high amount of power radiate in almost anything that will be susceptible to RF, which is two-thirds of the things we use include computers, every time a legally authorized agency, such as the CHP, the California Highway Patrol, or a ham, or a city radio vehicle, or a city water district vehicle, transmits, they would, in fact, interrupt the DSL service that's the whole idea of broadcasting over the power lines. So it's a disruptive service in both directions. It's kind of a lose-lose proposition. The only thing I think that's keeping it alive is in so many areas there are people who stand to make billions of dollars. And these are the companies that will provide the equipment, and they're all going rah, 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 just ignored these little voices. Here we lucked out because the city itself owns all of the equipment, and they will be funding it all themselves. So it was an ideal test bed for some of these fights to come to a head, because they were one sole entity that got to make decisions, make choices, and make promises. I think it will probably be used around the country as an example, because a lot of places have several entities involved, and you know, in government, very seldom does the left hand know what the right hand's going to do. By the time something's accomplished, there's a dozen people running around going, we said we weren't going to do that. Here, we're still small enough that it was a center point decision where there weren't any escapees, so to speak.
You being an ARRL technical advisor, did the ARRL provide some input or some support?
I went through our section leaders, and they pointed me towards the already existing stuff on the ARRL webpage, which I copied the entire thing, and we're talking about an inch and a half of printing. Had this all done up into a package, along with the reports I got from Australia and Japan, simply served by searching the web, and several of the tests that had been done privately by hands, then I simply went out and packaged this thing with explanations of what parts they should look at it. The ARRL had pretty much done all of their stuff ahead of time, so they're pretty reasonable to work with. Several of them have contacted me, but like I said, I didn't get any information other than off their webpage because, frankly, by the time we were getting girded up for battle, the enemy gave up. We had expected months' worth of effort, and a few weeks went by, and they went, okay, we quit. We won't do that. Thanks for telling us. Happy to provide the package of data, but frankly, anybody could search for it as easily because literally all I did was download it, write somewhat of a comprehensive fact letter to go with it so that whatever organization you want to present it to knows, first of all, you know what you're talking about and can make sense of all this massive data they're getting. Compartmentalize it, chapterize it, whatever you want to do so that someone can find the information easier. I actually went through with a highlighter and pointed out pertinent points because I know that these guys aren't going to read 2 inches of data, but they will skim through something and see something that may get them in trouble or make them mad or not get reelected. All of a sudden, you have their hard attention.
I've been speaking today with Paul Andreessen, K1JAN. We've been talking about the successful effort of Paul and other area hams in the Lompoc, California area to persuade the powers that be in the Lompoc city government to abandon BOPL, broadband over power line technology. For the Rain Report, I'm Hap Holly, KCNRP in Chicago.
Paul's email address is posted on the site's mentioned page on rainreport.com. Now for Rain's founder and producer, I'm Larry McGlure, KB9DIP, wishing you all the best for 2004 from all of us at Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network.